Hello and welcome to another episode of the FOMO Cast. I'm Chris, back with Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
We got not so much the regular piles to cover, lots of stuff in the other piles. We're going to start with, we got a first look at Star Wars, The Acolyte and Empire magazine. It legit looked like a fan film. It looked, the images I saw did not look great. So I don't know who released them. The makeup doesn't look like, we're getting promised all these different kind of Jedi that are not just humanoid type Jedi. And I don't think we got it. It just doesn't look great to me.
Yeah, I don't even know what it's even supposed to look like, so.
Well, it's supposed to basically look like futuristic-ish. It's set in the time of the High Republic, so if you never read the books, so basically what happens in the High Republic is there's, like, enormous amounts of species you run into because they have this enemy in the High Republic books that basically all the rejects and pirates form this giant alliance, and it's run by one family, and basically there's all these different kinds of aliens. They talk about different shaped heads, all this kind of stuff. So it's so crazy to me, like,
right? No, I mean, hopefully it's not a foreshadowing on how it's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, I think it's going to be good, but, I mean, you never know. Anything Star Wars, I'm going to love it. I've been loving Bad Batch. It's a great cartoon, and we got a lot of good content, and they're not relying heavily on other characters. Like, it does have Palpatine in it, spoiler alert, but most of the other characters are just in new created ones for the series, which is what I'm excited for The Acolyte, because you're going to get characters we've never seen before, species we've never seen before. We've already seen a couple of Jedi species we've never seen before in general, not just Jedi, but species in general. So, but I did see some of the photos, and they might be just trying to fake us out and be like, oh yeah, this is it. And then we get something completely different in the end. But I don't know, man, it wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. I was really, really optimistic for it. And then, I don't know, I just felt kind of disappointed with what we got. Not saying it's going to be bad, but usually when they release images like this, you're getting like some sort of epic shot. And it doesn't look like it's that Seth MacFarlane sci-fi show that was on Fox.
Right.
So, next, this one is shocking. Wish has become the third most viewed premiere on Disney Plus.
I mean, they pushed it really hard.
But they didn't push it beforehand. What I'm trying to figure out is who's trying to sabotage these movies. Like, are they hoping that they fail bad and there's an excuse for them to go strictly to streaming? Do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Or if it was, you know, a first movie that everyone could enjoy and it doesn't have any undertones in it. So I guess Encanto and Frozen 2 were the two that were ahead of it. So...
Which Encanto got the boost of, they added the sing-along, I think, like a month after or something like that. They added the sing-along quite quickly after they released the one.
So yeah, but that doesn't, those numbers don't go for the original movie, though.
No, but I mean, like, the people trying to watch it to get in the sing-along.
Right. And I'm surprised Frozen 2, I mean, I guess just with all the hype from it, no matter what, did that well. But yeah, Wish, and these are the first 5 days streaming.
That's so crazy. It's up at the top of my banner. So I have a lot of stuff to catch up on with Bad Batch, and then some shows with the wife, but I was going to possibly watch it because, you know, I need to catch up on that. And speaking of Disney Plus, I didn't even put this on there. I don't know if you saw what happened on Bluey, but we don't get the newest episodes of Bluey in the United States. Those usually come, I think, like 4 or 5 months after the fact we get the episodes. Apparently, in the season finale of the current season, because they've already said they're taking an extended break, because they've done like over 100 episodes of the cartoon without a break. And right. they're doing the super long episode this weekend.
Correct.
And we are going to get that one. That is going to debut everywhere. And super long is 24 minutes. But apparently, on the last episode of the season, before this special, you know, the two old ladies the girls play. Well, I guess they pretend the grannies, they're trying to sell a house or buy a house. And so what happens is the family's playing along about things that are wrong with the house. Well, then I guess Bandit or what's the mom's name?
Chili.
Bandit or Chili tell the kids, okay, you know, you need to be prepared because this might really happen. And it turns out they play the game when the house is being shown because they're selling the house. And so there's been rumors, there's big changes coming. We don't know what's going to happen because obviously when you go, like, what, something could happen in the next episode that's the special that changes the whole thing. But they actually, in Australia, they listed the house for sale. And if you call the number, it goes to a fake realtor that has, like, a funny name. And it's like, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Right.
So I wanted to throw that in there because we were talking about Disney Plus. Next, Star Wars, The Mandalorian, and Grogu. The movie is officially set to be released on May 22nd, 2026. So we do have 2 years. We did find out there is no plans for a show. So that tells me they're doing something in its place that is going to be centered around Bo-Katan, because we haven't seen Katie Sackhoff doing anything lately. A couple of projects have been put back into play. And I know Skeleton Crew is also coming out. So there's a lot of stuff to keep us over. But Bad Batch is ending. So we don't know what Dave Filoni, if he's going to do any more animated projects. We do have the next one that has been rumored and other stuff is tied to it. 2 years is a long time. Now, we're going to talk about it in a minute, about a change of a release date for something else. There could be the potential this release date could get changed, and this is just a placeholder to scare people away from putting something on that date. As we've spoken before, they did that with Star Wars and Pirates of the Caribbean, because they put Pirates of the Caribbean up against Avatar. They switched places of Pirates of the Caribbean, The Last of the Johnny Depp, and Star Wars, and then Avatar got delayed until when it just got released. So these dates, while they are kind of set in stone, I always give them like a 6 month delay. They could get shot up further or pushed back.
Right, and like you said, we've seen that happen multiple times with pretty much the Star Wars movies.
Oh yeah, because they wanted to make it when they did the movies, the sequel trilogy. They said that they were trying to get people to think. Because it was every 2 years we got a Star Wars movie. When they did Solo in between, they said it screwed everything up. Rogue One is one of my favorite Star Wars movies ever. That's why I love the Andor show so much. But I always felt like, why not have it in May? You have May the 5th, and May the 4th, May the 5th, May the 6th. It's just a huge time with Star Wars community. It's the best time to do it. So I almost feel like they'll probably push it forward depending on what happens with filming. But I do feel like with a movie, we might get some better people to be in it, because you do get more funding for a movie. And if you could get some of the characters back from the show, like a Timothy Oliphant, sadly, you know, Greef Karga won't be in it because he has passed away. So that does suck, but I'm going to have this marked on my calendar. 2 more years, see what happens. But we do in 1 month get Tales of the Empire, which is a six all new Star Wars original shorts focusing on the Empire. They do have some interaction with some people from the Jedi side of things, but we got the same thing last year with Tales of the Jedi. So it seems like they kind of surprise do this each time. It is very Clone Wars-esque in the animation. It's a little bit more 3D, I think, than Clone Wars is. But I saw a graphic, and they're like, they could do this for everything. Tales of the... they have Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire. They can have Tales of the Sith. They can say Tales of the Rebels. Like, you could literally go on this forever. So that's what everyone's talking about now is... what's next? It looks fantastic. And it does look, though, on this one that it's 3 episodes with one character and 3 episodes with another character, or all on the same lines. Like, it follows a story for the 3 episodes. And whether it be split episodes, so like half the episodes on one, half the other, or if it's alternating episodes, we don't know yet. We'll see when they release the names, because they have been pretty good. I noticed even IMDb won't release the name of an episode really until like the episode comes out, unless it's one like this where they all drop at one time. So I'm excited for it. The Tales of the Jedi was a lot of fun. We learned more about Ahsoka and about the process of getting Jedis, things like that. So maybe we'll learn more. And Ian McDiarmid, he has done the voice for Palpatine in a bunch of stuff. So if he's in this, maybe he'll do the voice for it and that too. It'd be kind of cool.
Right.
In this news that is not a shock to anyone, the Quantum Leap reboot has been canceled by NBC. A lot of stations are getting lucky with these original programming. So why do you need a reboot? They had this one. It's called, is it Tucker? They have one called Tracker. Will Trent. Tracker and Will Trent are 2 new shows that have come out. I think Will Trent is on its 2nd season. It just finished. It's going to his 3rd. It got renewed. But there's so much people, because people don't realize. If Tim and I were actors and we were with a network for a show. So like the guy on Tracker was in This Is Us. Usually what ends up happening, if you have a hit show, they'll offer you a contract and say, hey, look, we're going to give you a first look deal. And usually that means if they find a show they like that think that a network will like to produce, you can bring it to them and they get first dibs. But it also usually means that they have projects they want you to do for them. So it kind of keeps you in their pipeline of doing stuff. And that's what they did with the Tracker show. And I have a feeling they got so many other shows that are kind of canceling now that, you know, it just doesn't make sense to keep doing this reboot thing. I don't want to see reboots anymore. I'm sorry. I'm okay with like reimaginings and restarting of stuff, but not this. This one is what we were talking about right now. The Crow reboot with Bill Skarsgård has been delayed until August. And the reason is they didn't want to go up against the powerhouse of Bad Boys 4. So Bad Boys 4 is coming out in June. They pushed it back to a release date with 2 other movies that no one's ever heard of. So I only heard good things about the people who watched the trailer, so I don't know why they're so afraid. But I do know, like, I don't know if Tim even knows this. The big tracker now for movies is they will get the numbers from weekend 1 to weekend 2. And if it's more than a 30% drop-off in viewership, then they mean that the movie's a failure. Even if it makes its money back, they'll consider it a failure. So that's why everyone was freaking out, because Kong vs. Godzilla made all its money back in the first weekend, and they weren't expecting that. They were expecting it to be like a month-long haul, and it made almost all its money back in the first weekend. So, Kong with Godzilla, whatever, Kong X Godzilla, however you want to say it. So, I'm excited because it looks cool. It looks like a very good movie. I know a lot of people have said they won't watch it because of they're loyal to Brandon Lee and that he is the Crow. So I will watch this in theaters, though, because it looks fantastic.
Right.
And lastly, in entertainment, we have Disney releases the vote tallies for the 2024 Board of Directors election. And how did that go, Timothy?
Well, when I first was looking at it, I thought it was like 1 million votes, but it was like 1 billion votes. And obviously the big thing was the Nelson Peltz and whatnot going on with that. And Peltz did get, of the three that they were trying to get on, he had the most votes, but everyone, he was distant behind everybody else that Disney told them to vote for. Like, they were in, basically everyone was in the billions, I think, except for one person. And then Peltz was, like I said, the highest at 23 million. And the one that wasn't in the billions was like 830 million. So he was way, way down there.
I think people fail to realize that if you own Disney stock, you actually can get to vote on this.
Yeah. So yeah, whether you own one share or, and same thing with the calls and everything like that, whether you own one share or 20 million shares, you.
That's why I think most of these Disney bloggers, they actually buy like one share and they can hear everything that's on the investor's call.
Yep. Exactly. Or they're the company will buy one share, so then that way they're on it and could get in on the call and see what's going on, because obviously they give an update of what's going on, and then they usually quote unquote break some type of news, not anything really big, but you know, they usually say something just to be like, it's an investor call, it's like, hey, here's what we've done and here's where we're looking to go and here's what's coming up, you know, here's what's coming up quickly.
Yep.
Something that you didn't already know about. But I guess they said this call was a little weird. I guess Bob Iger wasn't there. And it's, you know, he gave an update. I think it was a pre-recorded thing, if I remember right, because I was another vlogger that I listened to. And then they asked questions, and all they asked 10 questions, and they were almost like AI generated type questions, and they were all softball type questions. He answered them, and one of them, he couldn't, the way he answered it, it was about ESPN and women's basketball, and he had like numbers and whatnot. It's like, okay, there's no way, you can't pull that off the top of your head. You have to,
right.
You'd have to have prep on that. So it was, so they were kind of disappointed. That's like, okay, all of these were softball questions and the answers weren't, you didn't get anything out of the answers at all. So they were a little disappointed in that, but you know, I guess overall, everything was fine and the proxy war's over.
Well, it is tough too, because like, I know some people were concerned because, what was it? They were doing the softball questions because I do honestly think that Bob Iger is trying to figure out, because so the women's basketball games, they basically outdid the men's hands down. But it was all games featuring Caitlin Clark. And Correct. Somebody was saying that legitimately they were like, why doesn't ESPN offer her $10 million to stay in the league, stay in college one more year? Because ESPN has the rights to the women's college tournament. So, like, why don't you guys do that? That's so dumb not to offer her money, you know, because the NIL deal, it could work, you know. So maybe they're trying to keep quiet on that, especially that's why they did softball ones with numbers. Because for those who don't know, people do reinvest based off these calls. Usually, right. You know, it's not you and me. It's some dude who has 100 to 200 shares, maybe a, you know, $100,000 to $1 million in shares. They want to make sure they invest. And usually you get something that's steady. You want something that goes up. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it was interesting. Just all the questions, you know, like I said, you could tell it just wasn't. They didn't like, oh, hey, you know, out of 3,000 questions, here's 10 of them that we chose. They were all softball type questions so you can make them look good, which I get it. But it's like, okay, you know, throw one or two in there that isn't really a softball and
right.
And don't give, you know, the PR questioner kind of. Turn it one way or steer the question one way or the other way. It's almost like a, you know, political debate type deal.
Right.
But at the end it was, you know, it was good. So,
I mean, they got what they wanted, and that's what everyone needs to know. Like, regardless of what side you're on, you want Disney to be a cohesive machine. Because this machine does work its own kinks out. So you right. may disagree with certain things. Well, guess what? Somebody who has more power than Bob Iger, which may not seem logical, but there are people who have more power than Bob Iger does. And they will make sure things are fixed. It's the reason why the Run Disney events went away in Anaheim for 5 years and they're back. There's a reason why. And that's because Disney made sure it came back. They have their finger on the pulse. They know what's going on. So I did want to cover one thing that's not in here. It's gonna be real quick. I just got the email. You, Tim, probably actually got the email too. Did you get the email for Star Wars Outlaw?
No.
Okay. So Ubisoft sent me the email for Star Wars Outlaws. And here's the shady part. They're pushing their service really hard. So they have a service called Ubisoft Plus Premium that's $17.99 a month. And so if you get that one, you get the game, Star Wars Outlaws. You get it 3 days early. You get the base game, a pre-order bonus of a cosmetic bike for your pack for your speeder and a cosmetic for a Trailblazer spaceship. You get the season pass, which is two DLCs, Outlaw with All New Story Quests, whatever, the Jabba's Gamut exclusive mission, and Kessler Runner character pack, as well as a digital art book, a Sabacc Shark bundle, another thing of cosmetics, and the Rogue Infiltrator bundle. The crazy part to me is the Ultimate Edition, guess how much it is?
Is this the game or is it a monthly subscription?
It's the game. The monthly subscription is $17.99 a month. Plus, it has 100 other games with it. It has 100 other games in the service. But so we have three editions. We have Standard Edition, which is $69.99. We have the Gold Edition, which is $109.99. And that includes the pre-order bonus, 3 days early access, a season pass, and then the Ultimate Edition, which is the base game, pre-order bonus, 3-day early access, season pass, and all the other bundles. I think actually, they all get the same bundles, is $129.99.
Yeah, I mean, usually if you have three passes, I mean, you know, three types of games, and we, you know, we've seen them before that. You know, it's usually the base game, which is, you know, either $65-$70, then $100, and then, you know, $110-$120.
It still feels like it's so expensive, man.
Right. Oh yeah.
That's crazy. But yeah, I wanted to make sure that was mentioned because It's crazy to me. Yeah.
Yep. All depends on if you want all those extras.
I don't have time. I have Starfield. I never play it. I could play Starfield if I want to play. So, I don't got time. As people know, Tim and I play games together all the time. We haven't played in a long time because we have too much stuff going on. So it's literally get on for 2 minutes and quit. No, there's no point in getting on then. So, I keep myself updated, and I actually did play with Mr. Stranger the other night on the weekend, which was nice. But other than that, I haven't played it forever. Now on to our amusement park piles. First, with other amusement parks. Halloween Horror Nights, 33 dates confirmed. It begins on August 30th, 2024 at Universal Orlando Resort. Tickets and tours are on sale. And what's crazy to me is if this was Disney, they probably would start, what, you think, end of July? Probably. Because
I don't know. I mean, Christmas Halloween.
Christmas starts early in the parks.
Yeah, it does. And I know Halloween is starting in, I believe, August this year at Disneyland. But I don't think they'd start that early. I think they would just shove more dates in a shorter period of time.
Yeah.
But the other thing is like the Halloween Horror Nights and whatnot, that is Universal's big thing, their big draw. And they don't, you know, they have it in a complete separate area.
Yeah. I mean, they do a really good job at Universal. I know I don't like this kind of stuff. I'm not a big fan of the horror stuff. And actually, the last time I went to a Haunted Mansion or a Haunted Maze, I actually hung outside because I wasn't scared of the dudes. And the dude with half the head and the chainsaw was sitting next to me. And what he would do is, because I was just chill, he would use me to scare other people. Because they wouldn't see him. That's just a guy sitting there. So he would sit next to me, and then he'd lean over and just smile at people. It was funny. And they were playing the Lazarus Pod Project on a movie screen, which is creepy as well. But they have fun. Wow. Universal Orlando adds another free Harry Potter wand promotion with purchase. That's crazy. Because that's the big thing. That used to be their big moneymaker. You go buy a wand from Ollivander's.
Yep.
Because I knew someone I worked with who took his daughter to Universal. And I didn't know this, but they put a show on in Ollivander's at certain times of day. And he goes, dude, they looked at my daughter and they brought her up. And they were like, oh, the wand chooses you. And so he's like, bro, how much is this? And it's like $150.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
He goes, do I have to buy it? And they're like, oh, no, you don't. But he's like, but then I'm going to be the jerk that I don't buy my kid the wand after they were picked for the show.
Yep.
You know, at least with Disney, they don't nothing to buy when they pick you for something for a show.
Right, exactly. If something like that, if your pick's like, hey, you know, if you want, you don't have to get the wand, but if you want to, here's like 25% off or, you know, 50% offers or something like that, give you, you know, some type of discount, because like you said, it's expensive already. It's like, oh wait, then don't pick my kid.
Yeah, because it's not a cheap, like, it's not one of the ones you can get at Target. These are weighted, like, for hand usage. They're made like prop replica-esque type of wands. Yeah.
It's like a lightsaber at a Sobby's Workshop.
Yeah, and they actually, I believe, also they have the IR readers that control, so if you do the different motions, that actually makes stuff happen. Like, there's actually a spot where you can do it by a door and it shoots water out the door. So, But that is pretty crazy. They're offering free wands. Because, I mean, last time we had this conversation about passes, Universal and, like, Knott's were fairly cheap for passes. So, yeah. They must be trying to get people who don't want passes. Because I'm not going to lie, I've seen some people, like, I've been hearing stories of people who have been living off of like dining plans they get from these different parks. They literally go and they get the dining plan and they stop in there all the time. So,
right. And so with this one, just to clarify, because I didn't know there was different types of wands, as in interactive and non-interactive.
Right.
So you get, this offering is one free non-interactive wand with the purchase of a Hogwarts house robe and an interactive wand. The free wand is non-interactive and valued at $55. So even a non-interactive one is still a decent
amount. They're still high quality. Like, I've seen them before, and they're like, they're not cheap by any means. Like, they're legitimately, like, they're weighted. They're nice, is what I'll say. Yep. So, I mean, I can understand. Like, I don't foresee like people scoffing at that, because let's say, for instance, you go and your kid wants one and they're 14, 15. You can trust a 15-year-old with one of those wands. I'm not trusting a 5-year-old. So guess what? If I get both my kids' house coats and then I get my, 5-year-old that cheaper wand, like, look, man, I mean, how much are those bubble wands at Disneyland? Like, 30 bucks?
Yeah, plus or minus.
So, I mean, what would you rather do? Go get that, or, get this from here? I'd rather get this, because this can work as a costume. Like, I know plenty of people. Mr. Stranger's daughter would probably use it multiple times,
Exactly. Yeah, and it all depends on, obviously, if you're into it, then, it's for you. But if you're not, then it's like, whatever. I'll spend my money on something else.
I think the tough part for me is that we nowadays have so many options, like, because you've seen the jerseys they sell for Disney now that are baseball jerseys that have like Snow White style or Ariel style or Belle. You can get a lot of this stuff custom made on Etsy for probably cheaper, and it's custom made to you. And I think that's the big thing is I've noticed when you look at some of this stuff, they're like, oh, it has a wand pocket. And I'm like, really? That's what you're bragging about? The wand pocket? Like, come on, bro. But I get it. They're trying to sell stuff, and this is going to get someone who is on the fence, they're going to buy it.
Yep.
Now, I don't think Tim's going to buy it, but I think Tim would look good in a Gryffindor robe. I'm pretty sure you're a Gryffindor. I'm pretty sure.
I couldn't even tell you if that's good, bad, or indifferent.
One of these times we need to do your house sorting and see what you get so we can tell the fans. Because I did it a long time ago. And apparently, as I've gotten older in age, I've become more disgruntled. Because I was sorted into Gryffindor when I first took it. And then when I took it the last time I took it, I was sorted into Slytherin. Those are the bad guys, Tim. Not necessarily bad, but
hey, in each movie, you gotta have a villain.
You gotta have a villain. And ironically enough, in the Harry Potter movies, they're not even like really like that bad of villains. They're just misguided people for the most part. Most of the people, but we also got a new Harry Potter night bus purse by Danielle Nicole at Universal Orlando Resort. Interesting.
It looks pretty cool. Looks like a double-decker bus to me.
That's what the night bus is. The night bus is a double-decker bus.
It's cool.
So that's what they use to travel. They can travel, like, into Muggle world, stuff like that. So I'll explain to you sometime other time, Timothy. Guests suing Universal Studios Hollywood after getting stuck on Wizarding World of Harry Potter ride. What are we missing on this, Tim?
I don't know. I mean, you could sue for anything, so good luck.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, no, we can still have nice things. It's just, like I said, you sue for whatever. Hey, I stubbed my toe, even though there's a sign that says, watch for this.
I mean, that's true. I mean, everybody wants to get money somehow, and this is just another way for them to score money for some bogus reason, because 9 times out of 10, it's a bogus reason. I'm not saying this is, but a lot of times it is. And, then we have another situation with someone finding a thumb in their chili, and then ironically enough, the person that has the thumb in the chili, their significant other is missing a thumb.
Yep.
Now on to the Disney pile, the general pile we have. Disney warns against third-party resellers for D23 tickets. This is huge. So we're getting a lot of people talking about, like, Disney is cracking down on resales on everything. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, and they're going to say it too, because they're the whole experience from what I heard on trying to get D23 tickets was an absolute, it was on par for Disney with doing, you know, whether it was an at dark or after dark event or when the Magic Keys first came out or their past couple times they've came out, that it was just absolutely horrendous. People were not happy with it. On how it was, and that even when, because you had like gold members come out and then Disney Visa card, and then it kind of went out to general public, and there was some tickets when it came to the general public the first day that it came to general public that tickets were already sold out for certain things. It's like, hold on, wait. So even if I was number one in line, I don't have a chance to get that ticket. Who messed up on that? That's not good.
No, it's not. And the worst part is that their excuse is like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, they're like, oh, sorry, we had a mishap. It's like, no, they have people who work on everything. You guys screwed up somehow.
And the thing is with this year, some of the bigger panels being at the Honda Center, you have a limited amount of seats and your ticket gets you in a specific seat. I mean, you have one ticket, you have one seat. So it's not like I got to get there early to get a good seat. You have a seat and you could get nosebleeds for cheaper or front row for more expensive, like anything, like a concert or whatever. So you knew the amount of seats that you had. If you wanted to do it fair and say there was like D23 gold members, then Disney Visa card members, and then general public. Okay, well, however many pre-sales you got. So that would be three. So you have a third for one, a third for the other, and a third for the rest. And there you go. But to have stuff already sold out before you, the general audience has time to get it, that's a bad look. So now they're forcing you to get something so you have priority over, you know, the general public.
Yep.
So and it's the only one that's going to benefit it is Disney. So, but I mean, then the other thing is how they warned against these third party resellers. Yes, we have seen some crackdowns on it, but the amount that there is out there reselling versus the amount of crackdown that has happened is basically slim and none, you know, if you take the whole of it out there. So we'll see if, you know, people buy it from third parties and if they get turned away. If they don't, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I'll believe it when I see it. Have they done it? Yes. But
it's been few and far.
Haven't seen it in a long time.
It's been few and far between. The big problem is that all these like third party selling websites, what is Disney going to do? Then most of them are based in offshore. There's no ties to nothing like they. And legally, I mean, unless it says on the contract that you're buying these tickets, I'm like, what are they supposed to do to people who can't end up going? They have a death in the family. There's no insurance on these tickets.
Right. And if they really want to have go against third party sellers, have a barcode, RFID chip, something on that ticket that is linked to that person, and when they come and it doesn't scan, it's not that person. Oh, granted, hey, if I'm buying him for a group of us or something like that, you know, there's ways of doing it. And like you said, if you had a death or something like that, okay, well, here's a number to call or an email or a chat or something to do on that, because you know, stuff happens on it. But until that happens, I don't know. Good luck. It's not like they're really pursuing it that much, only when they want to.
Yeah. We'll see.
Because right. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, we'll see. Because remember, for a while there, you could buy, you know, say somebody bought a 5-day hopper. They only used three. They had two left. You'd see them on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. Hey, I got 2 days left on this ticket. Do you want to give me, you know, $50 or whatever just to get in? You get them for super cheap. Yep. And, you know, friends of ours, she's like, oh, I got my ticket for super cheap. Oh, where'd you get it at? Oh, this website. I'm like, yeah, well, if you get turned away, and on the back of the ticket, it had the person's name on it, but they just scan it and do you in. It was before they started taking pictures on it and anything like that. So it's like, oh, well, yeah, no, I guess that works. But then they started taking pictures and everything. It's like, yeah, now you can't do it. But, you know, I'm looking at our ticket. I'm like, what the heck? Who? There's a name on here. Like, oh, that's the person that bought it. And who knows? That could have been three people ago. You know, however many times they decided to resell it.
Right. But yeah, exactly.
Not. It's like anything. You have a good thing. Takes a couple people to ruin it. Or, you know, toe the line and then can't do it anymore.
Exactly.
Or they really crack down on it.
Yeah, it's not. This one was shocking for D23. I didn't realize, so they're doing D23 Brazil. So the dates and location have been announced. I don't know why they would want to do that, because it's, yeah.
Yeah, so they've done it before at different deals, and I can't remember where the last one was at. Might have been London or something like that in Europe. And this one, it'll be in the Transamerica Expo Center in Sao Paulo from November 8th to November 10th of 2024. So pretty much a couple months after the ones here in Anaheim.
I wonder how safe it's going to be there, because Sao Paulo wasn't safe for the Olympics. And they got...
Yeah, if you went outside the Olympic bubble.
Yeah.
It's no way, you know. So, I mean, this one, I guess, just stay at the Expo Center or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. New Tiana's Bio-Adventure Louis plush available at Target. I have a feeling with the rise in popularity of the Disney stores coming back, because I think they regretted removing a lot of the Disney stores, and they're seeing that their numbers aren't doing great in Target, because they can just sell their crap in the normal aisle. They don't have to sell it at a specific section in Target. That makes no sense.
Right.
Like,
well, and remember when they were first getting away with it, that they were going to, you know, that's where it directed you to, is, hey, go to Target. We'll have this, you know, a couple aisles there or whatnot. It's not going to be a full store, but they'll have more merchandise there than normal.
Right. So. And it's actually pretty decent. Like, it's not bad. Like, they got good stuff, but guess what? If we took our kids there and you go down a regular toy aisle and you're like, find a toy over here, and they see right. Mickey or Minnie, they're going to run right to it. You get all this Mickey and Minnie stuff, they can't make up their mind. And most of it's plushies. It's
overwhelming.
It's not toys. And they do have other Disney toys in the other aisles. So it doesn't make sense. It's more plushies and dresses and like kits. So like tea sets and like a picnic set that's like certain characters. So, right. I like the idea of them just putting these plushies in there, but yeah, we'll see. We got a sneak peek of Star Wars The Phantom Menace 25th anniversary merchandise coming to Disney parks. So Disney has updated the Disability Access Service, or the DAS Pass service, due to overuse. Now, they already had limited, I think they actually widened your window now, so they actually made it a little bit more convenient for people who actually use it. But the caveat is, I don't think they did any of this for overuse at all. I think that was just the guys to do it. And the reason they really did it was because they wanted to add this line where if you lie to get the pass, you get permanently banned. And so, and I think they're including when you rent a person to come with you. I have a feeling that's also included in that.
Right.
Because they know these people now. They track them.
Well, and you have to do an interview over Zoom or something like that, a virtual interview, and they ask you questions or whatnot. It's not just show up, you get it, and here you go. You know, there's questions that they ask you, of course, within the legal realm. They can't just ask you any willy-nilly questions, but they kind of vet it out. And I know, so starting on May 20th, Walt Disney World guests with disabilities will need to register for the service 30 days in advance and no longer on the day of their park visit. Now, I'm sure if you didn't know that, you know, there could possibly be, you know, exceptions to it, like if you legitimately did not know or something like that. But it looks like that, at least in that instance, you'll have to, you know, make your register 30 days before.
Yeah. And the problem was, is people were faking and doing other stuff like that. Like, and some people were, you know, misusing the system. And I get that.
Well, and the thing is so it's like a fast pass, or what a fast pass used to be. It's not called fast pass anymore, but it's what it was. You know, you go up, you scan it at the ride, at the exit, ride's 30 minutes long. They say, okay, here you go, come back in 30 minutes. So it's like you're waiting in line, or before you would just get on through the exit. But the thing is okay, I scan it for 30 minutes. I don't got to wait in line. I could go ride another ride that's maybe 10 minutes, or this ride that's 15 minutes, and then come back and use it. So it's like, you have an automatic fast pass in your pocket. And then when you get there, you go through the exit, go on the ride. So, you know, like anything, and it stinks because you got people that are going to try to use and abuse the system, which you've seen, you know, which, well, like you said, with the first update to the DAS system and whatnot, and now they're updating it. Again, so it's an ever-evolving system, and I feel sorry for the people that actually need to use this, whether, you know, it's somebody that is autistic or whatnot, has, you know, a permanent disability, or, I mean, you could get a DAS pass is, you know, if you broke your ankle and you can't stand in line. It's not necessarily for your disability would be.
There's some kids, because I know there are some people who they're basically like, a lot of the part of their disability is, like, if they have autistic, they can't handle long lines or they can't handle loud sounds, so, you know, they want to keep them as calm as possible. A lot of them have the larger strollers they allow in because of that. And I'm all for that. And the funny part is like, when we went, I didn't understand how a rider swap worked. Because when I went with my son when he was little, someone just stayed outside with him. We didn't do the rider swap. We just took turns who rode.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't that busy anyways. So we did the rider swap. I didn't realize, they started asking, are they in line? And I'm like, oh, they have to be in line? Like, yeah, they need to be in line. And we figured out all you had to do was walk up and scan two tickets, come back in an hour.
At the front of the line, yep.
And then you're right in the front. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, we did that the first time we went with the kid, and we went with a bigger group, because I believe you could have up to four people, including the kid.
No, they changed it. It's only one and one.
And what?
It's only one and one. So basically, the kid can go twice, but the parents can only go... it's only two people at a time now is what they
did. They changed that, because when we went, it was four could go. So, but with us, the kid, it was more so the kid couldn't go, or your kid could go and one couldn't.
Yes.
So for us, yeah, it was four people. So, you know, like if me and the wife went, then two others, and then two others would go after it.
Right.
But it's cool to do that, where, like you said, the one group waits in line, and then when they come back out and you do the swap, then you go basically through the fast pass line, and not having to wait. So it makes it a lot easier and convenient.
Oh yeah, it made it a lot easier. And what was really cool was my son did not like the drop in Rise of the Resistance. It kind of scared him. And I think he was actually scared more was when he realized the stormtroopers were the bad guys. Because he's like, wait, the idea those are stormtroopers. Because when he walked in the first room, he's like, that's so awesome. And then we're in the room and they're shooting at you. And he's like, stormtroopers are the bad guys? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm sorry, stormtroopers are the bad guys. He's like, oh. So me and him hung out when the wife and her friend went on the ride because we had the two passes. And all you have to do is, this is actually the best part, we took scans of our pass barcodes with screenshots. So you'd walk up and you'd swipe, and it works the same way as if you're doing it on the actual app. You scan both of them. They're not going to double check that it's the kid's pass. So she had the kid's pass on her phone and just scanned that one for her friend, and it both went in. And I don't think they care about that, but their big thing is when you don't wait in line. And that's what they're trying to stop with this, the DAS pass and permanently ban. Here's the thing, though. We're going to get, like, probably 10 to 15 stories over the course of the following year, because I believe they go into effect May 1st. So over the course of this next year, we're going to see so many stories about people getting caught doing something, because Disney is... Everyone thinks Disney makes too much money, but they have everything earmarked for something. So when they don't get the money they're supposed to get, or someone's taking advantage of a service they offer for a specific reason, they're going to make sure you pay for it.
Right.
Now into the regular park stuff, hopping right to Disney World. Small fire reported at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which is scary. Tiana's food sign added to barn in Magic Kingdom, and they also installed the Tiana's Bayou delivery truck at Magic Kingdom, and frog characters painted and floating water lilies added at Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And we got a first look at the Tiana's Bayou Adventure frog musicians, which means they're very close, because if they're doing these final touches.
And what was it, last week or the week before, you saw the
Imagineers testing
it. Yeah, the head Imagineer gal that was on it that talked about it at D23 last year, writing it with other Imagineers as well. So, you know, getting those final touches on, making sure everything is show ready and, you know, final touches. And then...
I think people fail to realize they're reusing an old ride. So they just basically take the concept of what's going on and they put a skin over it. So they're not doing like they did with Batu and creating a whole entire new land. They're legitimately, you know...
Well, the ride system's already there, so you don't even have to do that. They didn't even have to tear down the mountain or anything like that. Nope. So... it's getting a makeover on it, and they're adding new elements. And even at Disneyland, they enclosed one section that used to be open to the outside. So, but the thing is, all right, if you have the track layout already there, there's half the time already, you know, done. You just have to fit the pieces around it and make it work on from scene to scene.
Yep. Yeah, so we're gonna see how well it does. I think it's gonna be packed. All that we can hope for, because I know people are gonna say this is woke, but if Disney is doing good, that means everyone's doing good. So I'm just hoping they do good with this and people want to go see it and they have fun. So the one that's sad is Test Track is closing. Concept art has been revealed. They're changing the whole entire concept, right? It's going to be something else completely.
Yeah, so it's going to close temporarily beginning June 17th, 2024. So it was announced last year, will draw an inspiration from World of Motion, which Test Track replaced. And then they released some concept art at the for the entrance of it. So I don't know how long it will be down for, but I don't think it's like too terribly long.
No, because I remember, I guess before it was Test Track, it was something else.
World of Motion.
And when they redid that one, it was only down for like 3 to 4 months when they redid that one too. Yeah. A lot of it is just building it outside of the ride and then putting it in.
Yep. Exactly.
Which I will say, I have a very, very cool thing about that is the very first FastPass I ever used using FastPasses was in Disney World at our honeymoon for the Test Track. And someone gave it to us and said, hey, we're not going to use it. Would you like to use these? And it was like an hour and a half wait, and we got to go to the front of the line. I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever. And that's real magic. That's the magic of Disney.
Right. Yeah. And it said the last major update was in 2012. And timing indicates this reimagining is the result of Chevy's renewing their sponsorship contract. So nice little update to it.
Walt Disney World takes first steps to beginning Beyond Big Thunder Magic Kingdom expansion. They've been talking about this for a long, long time.
They're in process of pulling permits. So there you go.
It's real. I know they did last year. We talked about that. They were doing the environmental study and there literally is so much land. I'm pretty sure all they have to say is we'll take this 100 acres. That's 15 miles from the parks and we'll never touch this. And they would say, okay, do what you want to do. This is how it works in Florida. New Star Tours scenes featuring Ahsoka, Andor, and the Mandalorian have debuted at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And Florida man sues Disney after Magic Kingdom ferryboat crash hurls him into trash can. You always like to see that.
Right. I like how it says hurls him in the trash can.
That's pretty funny. In Disneyland Resort Pile, the Galactic Star Cruiser drinks have come to Oga's Cantina for Season of the Force 2024. I will say, they do change the menu items not frequently in Oga's Cantina, but I went a year apart exactly, and they changed the whole style of the pretzels to being way better. The pretzel bites are way better than the giant pretzel that hangs off the Bavarian pretzel thing. It was way better with the little twist with the hot nacho cheese. Ooh, it was so good.
And I guess the funny thing is on the drinks, I think they come with a placard card or it has a placard card. And on it, it has the logo of the Star Cruiser. On it, so yeah, they must have a lot to get rid of and threw them over there. So it's like, yeah, so but it's, you know, it's good that they're utilizing that still and bringing it to Oga's Cantina, where you don't have to take out a second mortgage on your house to go stay at a hotel for 4 days.
True, and I mean, Oga's Cantina is a vibe and it's fun,
right?
Next, Star Wars Seek and Find Scavenger Hunt debuts at Disneyland. Right now is the Season of the Force, so a lot of stuff is tied to that. Yeah. Like,
and that is free. Obviously, you need a ticket to get into the park, but it's free to do. And
for those who don't know, there is a Disney Play where you can actually do bounty hunting. You can make equipment make sounds. You can do a lot of stuff while you're walking through Batuu. It's pretty fun.
Yep.
Sabine Wren has arrived at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is amazing because we get her and Batuu East doesn't. The BDX roaming droids have returned to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge for daily appearances. And we actually got video of Bob Iger and
Josh Tomorrow and Ken Potrock
sitting there and watching the guys work with them. And I do like the fact that they don't do like the droids where the person walks around with the soda that directs them and moves them around.
Yeah, they got the Steam Deck there.
They got the Steam Deck, and I like it because it also shows the technology. Like, I think parents would be more cautious because they don't think it's just some sort of cheap robot. There's a person controlling it, and the way they walk is very that Boston Dynamics Laboratory dog-esque, where they have very articulate movements. They're not like a rolling thing. They're literally moving their feet, kind of, and it looks legit.
Right, and like you said, with the guys controlling them, it looks like they're made to be controlling him. It's not like they're trying to hide back behind people in the crowd or anything like that. The other thing I do want to mention about it is there is a time frame that they're in Batu. They're not there from like 8 o'clock to midnight. I believe it was like 9:30 to 4:30 or something like that. But check the times. They're not there, you know, all the time. And the other thing is most of the time that I've seen them, they were behind the fence at where Luke's sky speeder is at.
Yes.
So they're kind of in an enclosed area, not out and about. And I'm sure they may be out and about when crowds aren't as bad. And then over there, because it's got a nice kind of open area in the front of the speeder, so people could like lean over the fence and see what's going on without them actually
getting close.
Yeah, close. And they're not really interactive type droids,
right?
Like how the characters are. So, and it gives them a place to roam around.
Yeah. We also are getting Hyperspace Mountain back for Star Wars Season of the Force. And they did announce that they're having a fireworks show, which is called Fire of the Rising Moons, takes to the skies in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and will stay after Season of the Force is over. Which, we got a glimpse of this when they had the grand opening, where they did fireworks behind it.
Yep,
so that's pretty cool.
And with it, when the fireworks do not go off, they still do the monologue for it, and I believe play the music.
That's awesome. Talking Jabba the Hutt popcorn bucket is now available, which I actually preferred the Stormtrooper helmet.
Yeah, that one hasn't come out yet.
No, it's supposed to come out in May. It's going to come out in May.
I'll say it's probably going to come out right before.
Yeah.
Or it'll be on the first Disneyland after, Star Wars After Dark event.
No, I already saw it. It's coming out May 4th or May 5th.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we got new Star Tours merchandise debuts. Obviously, you have to add Ahsoka and all those other people to it. Disneyland Resort.
No, shares. But the Star Tours isn't on that. It's like a hoodie that looks like the costume that they wear there.
Oh, they're doing that there now too?
Yep, and it's a hat that has like the Star Tours logo on it. It's not necessarily the new characters. It's just the ride merchandise on it, not necessarily incorporating the characters into it. And everyone, when a blogger was there and they were looking at the hoodie that had the costume on it, it was only available in, I think, extra small, small, and like 3 and 4 XL. And that was the only ones that they had, like at two different spots in the in Star Traders.
That sucks. Speaking of hats, sidetrack a little bit. Have you seen the new era line of hats for MLB?
No.
The Big League Chew edition.
Really?
Legit. They're legit. You should look them up. Back to Disney stuff. Disneyland Resort shares opening time frames for new downtown Disney District restaurants, which are trying to hurry up and get done because of all the stuff that's closing. I want to thank Tim on his recent trip going to Tortilla Joe's for me and having some food in my honor. I made sure to go there in January to say goodbye to my compadre. Hopefully the food is as good as the new place.
Right. Well, and so this one, I believe it's May 2nd or Centricron Paseo, which is the one that took over Uva Bar and the indoor place. And then they have a quick service one as well, is opening. And then in Tortilla Joe's, it's going to be a steakhouse / barbecue joint that's going to go in there. No time frame on that. So I will be curious to see what goes in there, or how it goes in there. Is it going to be like more so steakhousey, or is it going to be more so like
a barbacoa type place?
barbecue-y, but not, you know, like a Dickie's barbecue type deal? Or is it going to be something a little bit more, I mean, not fancy steakhouse, but, you know, like an Outback?
I thought they were putting another Mexican restaurant there. So I'm kind of sad now.
I thought that's what they were doing. Is because when I read that in an article, they talked to somebody from the Patina Group who owns Tortilla Joe's and also the Uva Bar and then the new Paseo and Centrico. And that's what they had said in the article. So I don't know if something has changed or with having that Centrico and Paseo being a Mexican style cuisine already.
Yeah.
That, you know, you don't have really a steakhouse or barbecue or like a meat joint. I mean, you got hamburgers, but nothing like that. So be curious to see once they announce it, what it's going to be, what the menu's going to be like. Cause I think that'll do well in that area. Cause then you have that whole outdoor area too. So you could have barbecues there, smokers, and just flooding everyone with good smells.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because I don't know if they don't want another Mexican restaurant down there or they're going to move something further down. I just feel like there's a lot of, you know, stuff out there that they could, you know, put there. I do love Tortilla Joe's. It has some of the best Mexican food you'll ever eat. Anyone who has eaten there, you know. You just know.
Yep, and it's, the tableside guacamole.
And it has a different, like, I'll never forget the first time I had one of their burritos. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to get. And I got the burrito, and the wife got some tacos. And I'm like, sweet. And then I ate my burrito. I'm like, this is something next level, man. The meat is very tender, shredded beef, traditional Mexican-style beef. It's not carne asada. It's shredded beef, and it's just so good. And then she got the chicken tacos, and they were delicious too. And I'm like, how can everything be so good? So, you know, fingers crossed it gets in. I mean, the beignets are fantastic down there, but you have to eat them immediately. As Tim and I talked off podcast, they will go hard immediately. And I had to tell my mom's like, bring me back some. I'm like, just go to Huckleberry's and get the beignets from there, because they're not going to be as great, but it's better than, they're going to be hard by the time I get home, even if I buy them the morning I leave.
Yep, exactly. And even if you put them in the microwave, still not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Next, they have a Louis statue that has been installed outside of Tiana's Bayou. So obviously Louis is
Tiana's Palace.
Tiana's Palace, sorry.
The restaurant.
He's going to feature heavily, obviously, in all the things over there, because he's a funny character and that's what you wanted to be based off of. You know, Briar Rabbit wasn't the only one that was on the ride. There was other characters. So you want Louie to be focused in it. We got a new light up interactive Mickey's Toontown bubble maker, rarely in stock.
So it's crazy. So the only reason I put it in there is where I put the article from. I'm like, oh wait, no, that they released that before I went. And I'm like, what the heck? So I read the article. They're like, oh, it's rarely in stock. And it got released a week before I went. And it was back there by the store when you get out of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway. And when I got out of it, there was a full wall that was there and had plenty of them. It's not like people, there's a big long line to get them. So it was interesting.
Yep. Coco Pixar Fest sculpture arrives in downtown Disney District. I feel like they're doing a lot more on the downtown side, trying to integrate it way more into the parks. Like they want everything to flow. And like all that tells me is that it makes me think they're getting closer to letting people in have same day passes back or same day entrance, because that's the only reason why you would want to do that, because someone's shopping at downtown. It's like, you know what? I'm here. Let's go to Disneyland. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That, and then you have the Pixar Fest, which is going to be resort wide.
True.
Coming in.
Especially with Pixar Pier Hotel.
Yep. Where you have, where the Star Wars Season of the Force is, very heavily in Batuu and Tomorrowland, and only in Disneyland. Obviously, it's not in California Adventure, where the Pixar Fest is resort wide, so it's going to be in both the parks and Downtown Disney and the hotels as well.
Yeah, and new Pixar Fest banners and Esplanade and decorations in Fantasyland Theater at Disneyland. So, like Tim said, all across. 2024 Disneyland After Dark Pride Night details have been announced. Tickets are on sale. Probably already sold out. They sell out pretty quick.
I want to say probably one night's already sold out because I listened to a podcast that got released today, and they record, well, today, which is on the 10th, and they record the night before, and they were saying that one night, I believe, was already sold out.
Yeah, usually it's weird for these specified nights. One night usually sells out quickly, and then the second night is usually like an awkward day, like it's like a Thursday or like a Wednesday. And so you could tell people will want to choose that one last compared to like a Monday night or like a Friday night. So, Astro Orbiter has reopened at Disneyland. I'm sad because
finally
my kid didn't get to ride it. And that's one ride I really wanted him to ride because it's fun. But we did everything else, so it's okay. First Lion King 30th anniversary merchandise at Disneyland Resort. I'm excited about this because the dude that sang as Simba in the original movie, his family was in the music business, and they offered to pay him $250,000 cash for the role or royalties. So his mom negotiated royalties. So this dude's been making royalties off of any time anyone plays any of the music from The Lion King. Damn.
Smart.
What do you remember? You don't remember the ones from him being an adult. You remember all the ones from him being a cub. So,
right, exactly. And fun fact about that, we went to Elton John's farewell tour. He did not sing Circle of Life in it. He had a little snippet of it. But it's like, oh, man, that was one of the ones I kind of wanted him to sing. And I'm sure.
Wait, what do you mean you went to it?
He played in Fresno and I went to the concert.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that. When was this?
When he was in Fresno, I don't
know,
a couple years ago. Yeah, it was a fantastic concert. And I don't know because he did his residency in Las Vegas, and that's when he had like that $1 million piano or $2 million piano or whatnot that was basically solid gold for most part. So I don't know if it's like, hey, in your residency, you could sing it there. But when you're out and about on tour, not really, because it might be some royalty thing or something like that. But it was that it just had like a little snippet of it, of a couple songs that he sang but didn't completely sing at the concert.
Yeah, so well, go. That's that. Well, maybe, I mean, it could be that, or it could be he's trying to get out his greatest hits because he knows a lot of people there are probably older and don't know. I mean, everyone knows Circle of Life, but you know,
right. Right, exactly. And again, the light pole fell over.
Oh, that's right.
And it was the one day that we weren't in Disneyland. So I don't know if that's just interesting. And that was end of November. So this is what, 5-6 months later that a speaker falls?
I wonder. Thankfully,
this one didn't hit any guests like the light pole did. But
and this one came into the walkway too. It wasn't anywhere you don't walk. It was in a walkway. I do wonder, because they have people that go through and check the tracks. Obviously, it's easier because they probably have some sort of cart that monitors it. So they probably have like on the different rides, somebody can send a cart down the track and it tests it kind of thing and tests whether the rails are lined up and everything's good to go. I wonder if there's any way to test those or someone checks those. Cause it says they removed the poles from Disneyland Castle Hub after one falls in guest path. So that tells me they don't check them.
Yeah, I don't think they do, because even that speaker that fell, when it did fall, they said there was a lot of rust and corrosion around right where the pole goes into the cement there, because they have, you know, the pylons, the pillars there that it goes into. And you got to think about it, in all of those areas, you have greenery in there. So you have some way, somehow, that they got to get watered. You know, a cast member ain't going in there every day with the watering can and doing it. They got sprinklers. No. So as soon as that, and they have at the base of those, like any light pole, you know, besides like traffic lights, they have like a little, I don't know, like a ring underneath it, so it doesn't, you don't see all these screws or whatnot coming up. So even if the water hits off of that decorative ring there, it's going to fall down, and water finds a way to the lowest spot. And if it just sits there and doesn't get, you know, cleaned out or anything like that, it's going to rust.
And well, especially because most of those probably also have a hub in there for repairing stuff too, probably.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's going to rust, especially if you have water sitting on it, probably close to 24/7, even if you do have some type of stainless steel bolts or whatnot in there. So, it'll be curious, like I said, for it to happen 6 months apart, and a pole that has fallen, and in both instances fallen onto a walkway, and in one instance actually injuring a guest, that I'm surprised somebody didn't go around and check every single one and start tagging them. Hey, this one we're going to have to replace. And the thing is probably not going to take that long to replace it, because you could one night take it down and then just put a, you know, a box or something over it, and you just don't have that light pole for however many days for it to get replaced.
Right.
It's not like it's a huge big show element. I mean, some of them are, but on those ones, you know, you could take your time in doing it or whatever. But not good. And it's not like it was really windy or anything like that. I know in the instance when I was there, it was windy and it knocked it down. But
Ryan, I think the one that knocked down by when you were there too, it wasn't one of the ones that's commonly like in the flower beds. I believe it was one that was in more of a concrete area.
Yeah, and it was one that had like a whole bunch of light bars on it.
Right.
It wasn't just a single one, so it was used for lighting on parades and buildings. But still
not good all around,
right?
Yeah, well, that's all we got for you this week. Thank you guys for coming through, as always. It's greatly appreciated. We'll see you guys next week. So for the FOMOcast, I'm Chris.
I'm Tim,
and we will see you guys next time.